The word tonight is called My Little Light of Mine. So if you have your Bibles, you can get them out. If you have notepads and pens, you can get those out to take notes. Don't worry if you don't, it's okay. But the word tonight is called My Little Light of Mine. And the scripture that I really felt over this group and over you ladies is Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. I'll just read it over you right now. It says, "You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let me just pray real quick. Lord, I just pray that you would just speak your words through me, Father, that it wouldn't be my words, my mind, but Father, I pray that these ladies that came, some of them from so far, are here for a word from you tonight, a word of encouragement, Father, that you would empower them to do all the things that are in their heart to do, their passions, Father. I pray that this is a year of breakthrough in some of their lives. This is a year of answered prayers, I declare in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that their heart's desires will begin to come to life in this next year, that it be a year of promotion in their ministry, in their hearts, in their life spiritually, God, in their relationships. And we just declare, have your way right now in Jesus' name. Amen. But that scripture says, number one, it says in the first verse, you are a light to the world. One. And the second thing it says you are a light to your home. So a light to the world, meaning everywhere you go, and a light to your home, whoever you live with, siblings, your children, husband, friends, if you're roommates, whatever, you're a light to your home. And I am going to be, the rest of this message will basically be on how you are going to be a light to the world and a light in your home. And this will be the text that we'll be in is Matthew 25. Well, actually, there'll be a lot of scripture, so you can take notes if you need, and it should be on the screen. But Matthew 25, 1 through 13, let me read. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.' All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I do not know you.'" It's a pretty intense piece of scripture, but I want to point a couple of things out that I'm going to be speaking on tonight. A reference that you will hear a lot will be lamp. And if you want to write this down, if you have notes, lamp equals light. Light equals sight or vision, because light creates us to be able to see. So sight, and sight equals salvation, that when we can see, we see the truth. So sight equals salvation, which comes through Jesus. So lamp equals light, which equals sight, which equals salvation, which comes through Jesus. And throughout scripture, whenever oil is referenced, it usually means the majority of the time it represents the presence of God or the Holy Spirit. So this is part of what I want to speak into tonight. Out of that scripture, we have the five foolish ones that didn't bring enough oil. They were not prepared. And then the five who were wise and brought extra with them who were prepared. And I want to say this very softly and nicely, not as a rebuke in any way, but we cannot live our Christianity based off of or off of other Christians' relationship with Jesus Christ. And I see this happen so often because as women, we use the excuse of busyness all the time. that we have kids, we have husbands, we all have these different things. We have school and work and all these different things we're trying to balance, that we end up having certain people around us that carry us. But as we see in this scripture, we have to have our own alone time with the presence of God. The presence of God is the oil for your lamp. That is how you fill yourself up. And a lot of time as women, we find ourselves running so ragged and crazy all of the time. It's like we become an emotional mess or disaster. Yelling at this person or screaming at this person or honking at this person or swerving here. And you've had those days where there feels like, oh my gosh, how is there so much turmoil going on around me right now? And it comes down to the fact of our personal time with the presence of God, with Jesus Christ, and filling our oil up in our lamp. I truly feel that this is a confidence issue in women. I feel like as a lot of women, I mean, all of us in here have insecurities. But I think part of it is when we see other women stepping out and doing what they're called to do, a lot of times what it'll begin to do is brew jealousy in us instead of fueling us to go fill the oil in our lamps. And so, and that's deception, because we don't know it's happening that way, but it's the enemy that comes in to try to distort what we need to be doing. What we need to be doing is to be filling ourselves up with the Word of God, with a personal relationship with Jesus, with worship in our homes, not just worship at church, with worship in our cars, wherever we go. We have to be filling ourselves up. I truly believe that confidence in women and unity in women we begin to take place if this very thing, if we begin to have confidence in our place that Jesus has called us to, and in our passion, in what we're called to do, and we, just like we sat here tonight and clapped for each other as we declared our passion, if we did that outside of here also, instead of allowing the enemy to fill us with jealousy or insecurities that shouldn't be there. And here's another thing of deception I want to break real quick, is there's another thing that the enemy will use to distract us, and I mentioned it, and it's busyness. And sometimes I think we will use it as false confidence for ourselves, that the busier we are, the more we have pack jam in our schedule, the more meetings we have, the more running around we're doing, then the better we feel about ourselves because we're busy. In fact, I believe that that busyness is an actual enemy to what God wants to do in our life. Because the very thing he wants us to do, which we all know, we know the story of Mary and Martha, when Mary was serving, when Martha was serving and Mary was at his feet. Now the majority of us, okay, we think always the honorable thing is to be serving, serving, serving. Now, are we to serve? Yes, absolutely. The Bible declares that. But as women, I think that we think that that is what we are to do 24/7 all the time. And that's why Martha, in that moment, responded with such frustration. She basically raised her voice at Jesus and said, "Aren't you going to tell that woman to get off the floor and come help me in the kitchen? Like, tell her to get up off the floor from your feet and come help me. I'm working my butt off right now, doing all of this stuff, and she's sitting there." What does that sound like? It was jealousy in a moment. She was jealous of the position that she was in and all that she was having to do, and all it took, which Jesus scolded her and said, "You should be doing the same thing." But we think it's sometimes the higher road to be busy, busy, busy all the time instead of sitting at his feet. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Without the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in our life, we lose vision and our identity. We lose ourselves. Without identity, it is very hard to walk in the purpose God has called you in. In fact, I'd be very surprised usually if the Lord brings your purpose or your call into your life with a lack of identity. Because without our identity, which is truly through him, once we see who we are in him, he releases his purpose in our life. So without the Holy Spirit and Word of God in our life, so we must have the Word of God. We must be disciplined in the reading of our Word. We must be disciplined in our personal time with him. So then the Lord can give us the vision for our life and the identity through him. And also, I believe this, is you will begin to live in the fullness of God. And what do I mean by the fullness of God? I mean joy, peace, happiness, freedom, joy, all of those things. I think we all experience those things, but I think we can also get into these seasons in our life where it's like, I feel irritable all the time, or I feel uptight all the time, or I feel a pull and further away from God. I don't feel as intimate with him right now. And we feel those things because we haven't made the time with him. And so when you do, I promise you this, you will begin to live in the fullness of God and be able to experience the joy and the freedom and the peace that comes with that when you make that a priority. Proverbs 31:18 says this, her lamp does not go out at night. This one hit me. It hit me hard because in a way, how women can receive this is what? I have to be perfect? Perfection? I won't be that. But so her lamp does not go out at night means your lamp is always burning. Your oil is always filled. And I want to break that. It is not meaning you are perfect all the time. In fact, our imperfections, our vulnerabilities is how God uses us with other women. The very fact of us being able to say, I had a rough day today. I feel like I failed today. And another woman saying, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. Okay, so let's talk and we can, but trying to put on a face and say I can be perfect all the time is actually what hurts ourselves and other people. So it's not that you have to be perfect all the time, but that every day it's a goal for us to represent Jesus everywhere we go as much as we can. And when we fail, we're humble. And we know how to apologize to our husbands. We know how to apologize to our kids. We know how to apologize to family members. I've apologized to my 1.5-year-old before, and she looked at me cross-eyed like, Mom, you're... And then another time, the second time I did it, she goes, Mom, I forgive you. I forgive you. And I was like, thanks, baby. That's so sweet you knew to say that. But, you know, so it's not the fact that you have to be perfect, but it's the fact that it's a goal in mind that we are to represent Jesus when you're in traffic in your car, okay? When you're late because you have kids or you're running late from work or whatever it is, okay? That we represent Jesus in the grocery store when you accidentally wear your slippers there, because I did that a couple weeks ago, and you're, you know, running in for 2 items, okay? These are things where we have to keep in mind that he can use us and we are willing to be used at any time in any moment, and we're not too busy for him or for other people, that we don't let our oil run out. I'll give a personal example real quick. This happened a little while ago, probably a few months ago. But I got a call, and of course, we had been traveling a lot, and I had laundry and a 2-year-old running around crazy, and just all this stuff that I was trying to do and repack our bags because we were leaving again. And I got a phone call, and the number was not in there because I switched phones and blah, 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 so the contact wasn't in there. So I answered it, and it was this wonderful woman that was calling, but at the moment, when I heard her voice, I literally gasped, like, I don't have time for this. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe right now I just answered this phone call. I felt so convicted, first of all, in the beginning, that the Lord was like, just shut your, you know, I didn't say it out loud, but he was, you know, shut your mind off, shut your thoughts off, shut your mouth, whatever, but that's what it meant to me. And so, but still, I was like, oh, you know, I'm listening to this phone call, and I'm trying to get everything together. And all of a sudden, you know, she just starts saying how much of an inspiration I have been to her, all of these wonderful things to me. And now I was really convicted. And I was like, oh my gosh, just throw all the laundry, throw those suitcases aside, tell Peyton to go watch a movie, put it on for her, and just sit and be with her. And I can tell you this, when I sat and I listened to her and we prayed together, we cried together, it blessed me so much, that phone call. And what I realized when I hung the phone up is it stopped me from my crazed, I don't have time for all of this stuff, and freaking out and yelling at Peyton to go pack her own suitcase at 2, which isn't going to happen, you know? Like stuffed animals it would be and candy or something, you know? But it stopped me from my craziness that I was in. It stopped me from selfishness, and it actually ended up blessing me, even though she needed a phone call for somebody to bless her, and it blessed me. So there's an example where God knows better, and he knows when to bring situations, people into our lives, even when we're not willing. But I think we miss it all the more when we're not willing than if we are willing all the time. And Acts 13:47 says this, I've made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. We are called to be a light wherever we go all the time. And I wrote this down. If we allow our lamps to run out, we not only hurt ourselves, but those around us. And it's our job to keep our lamps full. It's our personal job. It's nobody else's around us. I will find times when I feel like I'm blaming my husband. Oh, but you haven't, you know, taken Peyton for here, so I haven't had this time with this. And then all of a sudden I feel in my head, well, you could have got up earlier. I could have, but I don't want to get up earlier. I need my sleep. So, you know, it's sacrifice. It is sacrifice. We can't blame people around us for why we don't have that time, because the one who's depending on that oil being filled up in our life is ourselves and then those around us, because truly we'll be better people, girlfriends, wives, mommies, everything, when we are filled up with the presence of God, the Word of God. And I want to say this, is you do not need a platform either to be able to disperse what God has put in you. And I think a lot of us, like what Esther said, she said, my ministry is her work. She's a first grade teacher? What an incredible position God has given her to pour into these kids on a weekly basis. And she's on fire for God, loves God with all of her heart. And their teacher is this wonderful, pure woman that gets to pour that in subconsciously into them. I mean, God can place you, whatever your world is, your life is, that is your platform. That's your platform. Don't wait for a day. One day God will use me preaching around the world, missions, everything. That's awesome. He will use you for those things that are in your heart, but don't wait for one day. You need to start now, because the Bible says that when you are faithful with the little, then you will be trusted with more later. And so we have to be faithful with the one-on-ones that we have in our life right now. Romans 13:11-12 says this, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. That means the night is representing our evil earthly world right now. And that the day is almost here, meaning the light, Jesus Christ, will be here. So that we have to put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light, to prepare for those times as the wise women did with the oil. It was the preparation that they did. They made sure to prepare to bring enough for the right time. And in part of putting on the armor, I believe that we have to begin to shake off molds and patterns that we've put ourselves in, that other people have put us in. It's very hard when we've gone our way, when we have our lives that we do on a daily basis. It's very hard when we leave here to now think, okay, wait, ministry all the time, wherever I go, which I'm not saying like I did before, it's perfection, but being able to say, God, I'm available for this. But you have to be able to shake off your daily stuff that you're used to doing wherever you go, and be able to think, going into the grocery store, I'm going to look around me, and if somebody needs prayer, I'm going to ask them. That's not something the majority of us are used to doing. So we have to get out of those old molds. And we also have to let go of frustrations and irritations that keep us bound from loving others and blind to the heart of God and his sheep. Truly, our frustrations and irritations, okay, can we all give an amen? We deal with those things as women, okay? I find myself getting frustrated all the time, like, oh my gosh, frustration, again, it's rising up in me. Push it down, okay? But this is true, is frustration, irritations, those will blind us completely from what God wants to do. Or have you ever been going somewhere and all you can think, I'm so mad at this person, or I'm so mad this just happened, or I didn't get this raise, or I didn't get this, and we're just pushing the cart, or whatever we're doing, we're pushing the stroller, and we're so mad. You are so not going to notice, you know, the person in the wheelchair to your right there that really needs prayer. You're just too mad right now, okay? We are not going to realize God's not even trying to give you a vision about your future right there. He's just like, oh, Lord, I'll get to her in a couple months when she gets over it. Seriously, that's sad, right? Because that takes us sometimes that long, okay? It is so important as women that we know how to release irritations and frustrations that we cover in prayer and it's over and we don't allow roots of bitterness to get into our lives. That is so important. That's like triple star on your notes if you're taking it, to be able to release and cover in prayer our frustrations and irritations. Matthew 6, 22 through 23 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So we read the scripture and we think of like the guy addicted to pornography or is like a super pervert, okay? Seriously, which it would work for that because it says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But truly, it can also mean if my eyes are always on what I'm frustrated about, how am I going to be full of purpose and vision and be hearing what God's trying to say to me? If my eye is always on my insecurities and what I cannot do, what I do not have, how is the Lord going to speak to me to go do something when I think I don't have what I need to do for that? So what our eye is on, whether it's good or bad, means our whole body will be filled with the darkness or with the light. It's so important that we understand that. I wrote this, now is the time, and I speak this over you, now is the time to stir the passion and gifts God has given you and to use them to win souls and to glorify God, just like in the original scripture that I said at the very top. It says in the last verse, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and that it glorifies your Father who is in heaven, because that is the purpose, is that he may be glorified through the works that he gives us to do. So if light equals sight, which equals salvation. Oh, I'm sorry, I want to say this really quick. So how do we do that? How do we stir those passions? I put by putting on the armor of light. So if light equals sight, which equals salvation, which is through Jesus, then literally we're wearing the armor of Jesus. How cool is that? And being a testimony to all those around us who we wear or represent. So when we put on the armor of light, it literally, which John talks about it a lot in the book of John, he refers to Jesus a lot as the light that is coming for salvation to his people. So we are literally wearing the armor of Jesus to be a testimony to all those that we go to by who we wear to represent. I thought that was so cool. Here's a couple of things. Evidence that your lamp might be running on low. One, irritability. You're irritable. Two, lack of passion in serving. Then maybe you are over serving. So now you are lacking passion, which I can tell you as a leader, and many of you are leaders in here, there's nothing more frustrating than somebody on your team or somebody that's under you that has no passion in what you're doing, and you're getting everything within you, blood, sweat, and tears to go forward with this vision, and the people by your side don't have the same, and they probably never will have the same amount, but they don't have any passion for what you're doing. So if you feel that lack of passion in serving, maybe you are over-serving, you're not spending time with the Lord, so you don't have the vision for where you're really supposed to be serving in. And that's just one example of what might be going on there. But three, strife in relationships. Four, exhaustion or depression. Five, you feel distance from an intimate relationship with the Lord. It doesn't mean that you don't have a relationship with the Lord, but you don't have the normal intimacy with the Lord that you're used to having. And then in closing, how to fill your lamp up. You guys ready for me to move on? Number one, how to fill your lamp up. This is absolute. You must make time for this. Once a week, at least, you must have a date with God. What is a date with God? I'm not talking about your personal time that you need to have every day with him. I'm not talking about in your long car ride to work, your prayer and worship, or during your kids' nap time. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying you need to get out of the house, you need to escape, and you need to be able to go get before God for however long to really just go after the presence of God, ask questions, talk with them, commune with them, a date with God. That needs to happen at least once a week to keep your lamp full. And John 1:9 says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. The true light that gives light to every man. So it's Jesus himself that gives you light. So as you spend time with him, you receive that. Two, be prepared. So just like we talked about the women before, the ones that were prepared with the extra oil. And what do I mean to be prepared? Also, in knowing this, you need to be prepared for distractions that may come along, for busy seasons, for spiritual attacks. We have to keep those things in mind. Because what happens with a lot of us, if we're not spending enough time with the Lord, is that those things will come along and wipe us out. Or send us in some kind of tailspin, emotional thing, depression, something. The enemy can get a hold of us if we aren't prepared, spiritually preparing ourselves for those times. We need to be women of our word. That is part of being prepared, is being a woman of your word. And Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Number three, have a real prayer life. And I put real in capitals. A real prayer life means you talk to God about everything. So some of us just like to go to God for other people because we're really awesome. We never want to ask for ourselves. And we just think it's so much more righteous if we just ask God to heal everybody else and save all of our, but we never go for ourselves. And then there's those of us that are like, God, help me with this. God, help me with that. And it's like me, okay? Which is fine because we all go through that. But, well, kind of fine. But then there's also the times where we go and we feel like we have like a really good, perfect prayer and we're just going to really love on God today, but we're not going to tell him our troubles. We're not going to tell him our cares. We're not going to tell him that we're hurt and broken right now. We're not going to tell him what's going on in our marriage and talk to him about that right now. We're not going to talk to him about the bad report from the doctor I just got right now because I'm partially blaming him for that. And we go to God with good-sounding prayers, but we don't know how to really be real with God. But the Bible says that we're to cast our cares onto the Lord. And Psalms 36:9 says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. So when you go to him in your prayer time, when we feel like we're at the darkest times of our life, that is what upholds you, is talking with him, communing with him, praying to him so that he can talk back to you and he can release his light on you. Also, prayer time is when he releases vision for your life. Some of you said you were still searching, you weren't knowing. Make that a huge prayer thing in your list that you begin searching and praying to God. What is it? Show me, Lord, through people. Through whatever, give me passions, God, to show me what it is in my life that I'm called to do. Four, this is a big one that women have a hard time with, vulnerability. Allow people in your life to speak into you and encourage you. We like to go out and have coffee with our friends, but it's very hard to sometimes say, you know, I'm a mess right now, or I'm really struggling in this area right now, or I feel so distracted because this is going on in my life right now, I'm not focused, and that we allow accountability people, and we are real with those accountability people in our lives. You have to have that. You have to have, if it's not a husband or a boyfriend, you need other people, more than one. You need a few accountability people in your life that you can be completely real with, but are also going to give you godly and biblical advice. You do not want to go to your secular friend for this, okay? Which a lot of us, you'd be surprised, you know, the person that we're supposed to be speaking into is the one we're going and crying on their shoulder and like, how am I going to hear from this person next week, you know? Those people we're investing in, you need to find somebody that can invest into you spiritually, that is biblically sound, that is, you know, not that you can't speak into them too, but they're trustworthy in that area. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Okay, we have to put the fears of judgment, the fears of insecurity, all those fears behind us if we talk and we're real with people and have accountability. And the last one is forgiveness and letting go of frustrations. We need to love our life. We really, truly, you have to love your life, be appreciative of God, of your life. When we have thanksgiving for where we're at, what we've been through, it transforms us as a person. It allows us to see so much clearer than having a negative attitude, okay, about everything that's going on in our life. All of us can have a lot of things that we are frustrated that we could bring up right now that aren't going right in our lives. But you know what? A lot of us can have a lot of incredible things that God has done for us lately through our family, everything. And that's what we have to concentrate on. Because honestly, a negative attitude, anybody can testify, wears on you, but it wears on people around you. Or if you've had a friend that has a super negative attitude, you're like, seriously, I got to get away. I can't handle another negative, you know? So that is so important in letting go of our frustrations and letting go of the negative attitudes. And this is so cool. I love this scripture. We're going to close with this. Psalms 18:28 says this, you, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. And isn't there so much comfort in that scripture to know that you can fail, you can mess up, you can say, oh my gosh, you know, after everything Heather said tonight, I'm not way up there on all that time spending with God. You need to take baby steps then. You need to take some kind of step towards that time with the Lord. But the Lord will help. He will fill you up because that is his heart, is to want to spend time with you. It's his heart to fulfill fulfill his purposes through your life. It's his heart to touch people's life through your life. And so many of us have incredible testimonies in this room right now. I love encouraging people. That's where you start, in reaching out. If it's something totally new for you, out in secular world, and you know what? None of us can act like we're perfect at this because ministers are usually the worst because we are so used to being in a pulpit with a microphone or in front of a bunch of people that when we're one-on-one with people, we're super awkward, okay? So it's like, wait, do I slam the spirit in the grocery store? What do? I'm not in a church. You know, just go up, act like a normal person and pray for them. You know, let them know Jesus loves them. Tell them your testimony, okay? That is so cool because some people that don't believe in the Bible or want to argue the Bible, they cannot argue the miracles that God has done in your life. How are they going to be like, no, your back is not really healed? You know. No, you really are still a drug addict, you know? They can't argue the miracles that God has done in your life. So go and testify. That's an awesome way, you know, to start and to start conversation with people. So I want to pray for tonight. And thank you guys for coming tonight.